All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Steelers lost yesterday to the Browns, 24-22. Nice little comeback at the end, playing a lot of backups, including Mason Rudolph. Didn't matter. Steelers going to the playoffs. They're going to play the Browns again. Mike Ostie joins us from Steelers Now and Pittsburgh Sports Live. How surprised were you? How competitive the Steelers were yesterday?
I was kind of surprised, although not incredibly, because the Browns have struggled recently. Remember, the Browns lost the week before to the New York Jets. The amazing as that sounded, that actually got them into the situation that they needed this win. So it wasn't like I thought the Browns were going to dominate. It just didn't feel like that was the trajectory of the Browns lately. And also, Mason Rudolph kind of proved to me that he's a quality backup, I guess. I never bought him as a successor to Ben Roethlisberger, but I certainly saw from last year that he can step in there and do okay enough in games, and he did okay enough yesterday that didn't ruin things. He certainly had his negative moments. But I wasn't thinking the Steelers were going to get blown out and lose by 30-plus points. I did think that kind of was behind them and the way the Browns are playing. I didn't think the Steelers would win, and they almost did at the end, so that kind of was surprising. The Browns, that would have been catastrophic and typical Browns if they somehow lost to the Steelers with all their backups. But the Browns were able to hang on and get the victory in a very meaningful game for them, getting them into the playoffs for the first time in 18 years. The Steelers, the game didn't matter much for them. It might have mattered, actually, in the old format, as they still could have went into the day for the number two seed. The Bills would win, so that wouldn't matter. But they didn't have a chance of the bye anyway, so Tomlin didn't care. And I think it was mostly a positive day for the Steelers, despite the loss, in terms of what you saw from who did play, the fact that nobody got seriously injured. And unless we somehow get some COVID news with somebody testing positive from the mess that the Browns have dealt with COVID in the last week or so, and my fingers crossed as we're recording right now, I haven't seen that. So far, so good in terms of a positive day. And there's a rematch. So anything the Browns let out of their bag of tricks because they had to beat the Steelers are well aware of. And now the Steelers know who to prepare against and how to prepare against this team and can fix what they did on Sunday well and not well in just a week's time, rather than having to get an entire new game plan together for a new team.
And we'll talk about that matchup here throughout the week. I'll get back into it with Mike Ostie here in a couple minutes. But my personal feeling on what the Eagles did last night was atrocious. But there are people saying, Steelers did the same thing. Steelers resting their guys. They didn't try to win. What's the difference? What's the difference in your mind, if there's a difference?
Well, there is a difference. And I didn't have as much of a problem with it as you do, just for the fact that teams have been tanking throughout sports history for a very, very long time. Ironically, an NBA franchise is also in Philadelphia, admitted to tanking for years and calling it trusting the process. And this is really the first time we saw a team pretty much intentionally tank in the middle of a game on national TV primetime. So it is kind of jarring. Certainly sucks competitively. It's definitely different than what the Steelers did. Resting their players when you have a seed situation kind of locked up, you know that being the number two seed does not get you a bye. So really, Corey, if anyone has a problem with what the Steelers did, it's a little bit of an indictment of the NFL's current playoff format, that they have basically made a situation where only the number one seed in both conferences get a bye. If you want teams at the number three spot with a chance at the number two spot to try their hardest, then you need to allow the number two seed to get a bye. Tomlin flat out said, if we don't have a chance at a bye, I don't care, pretty much, is the paraphrasing. So that's the truth. That's why they went into the game the way they did. But resting players is certainly different when you're gearing up for playoffs than a team well out of the race just trying to lose to better position themselves. But when you have a league that rewards draft picks off of a poor record and the way things are positioned, not saying it shouldn't be that way, it does certainly set up that tanking could be a positive plan. I honestly had a question of why James Conner played in the game. James Conner has been injured his entire football life. He has missed games this year. He's been COVID positive this year. He's a cancer survivor playing against a team that has not dealt with COVID well recently, and he played. I might have sat him. Minka played. Minka's now a veteran. He shouldn't have to mess with this anymore. He played. Stephon Tuitt played. He's been injured this year. I might have rested more players. But resting, getting ready for the playoffs is definitely different than basically punting a game in the middle of it when you're out of the race.
By pulling your quarterback. And look, Jalen Hurts has not Ben Roethlisberger, but what if the Steelers had been down 17-14 and all of a sudden Ben's just not playing anymore and Duck Hodges all of a sudden is playing, which is that's the equivalent of Nate Sudfeld, and you're on national TV and you're just getting ripped to shreds all over social media. Look, I don't care. I don't care that the Giants didn't make it or what happened. Look, the Giants sucked anyway. I mean, if you want to get in, don't suck. But at the same time, when that's what it is. You made a great point. The jarring nature of seeing it unfold in prime time. We haven't seen it just unfold that way, the way a lot of these teams will tank.
No, it's definitely this would be the equivalent as if you're in the middle of the last game of the season and a win could maybe get you in the playoffs somehow, and the Philadelphia 76ers said, well, we're trusting the process, and all of a sudden pulled out Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons in the final 2 minutes. That would look like, well, they're not trying to win this game. Why would they not want to win? I mean, they said the same things. There's always been the phrasing, suck for luck before Andrew Luck. There's been different paraphrasing and phrasing for different guys. I can't sit here and say that no other team has intentionally tried to lose a game. I also think the difference of this, too, Doug Peterson has a Super Bowl ring on his finger. That's something the Eagles franchise has never experienced before. While some fans may dislike him to what they felt 3 years ago, he has a little bit more pull and cachet than just any old coach. If I'm a head coach in the NFL, based on it, we're sitting here during Black Monday of the NFL, a former coach of the year got fired today, that it'd be hard for me to want to lose any games when you need to stack wins, or else you're going to get fired in the National Football League as a coach, because I might be doing what makes sense for you as a GM, but I might not be hired and still here when this fruit finally, becomes the fruit of our labor. So it's certainly a risk to do that, but Peterson clearly felt comfortable to do that for the franchise based on winning recently. Hopefully he'll be there to see it through. But I think the jar nature of it is what is so shocking and why fans are mad. I mean, they know for a fact teams have tanked before, and I didn't see this venom when the Sixers were going in press conferences saying we're trusting the process and trying to lose, basically. But to see a team do it on TV in prime time, if this is a regional broadcast and they played this game at 4 p.m. and they would have put another game in that spot and the Eagles did the same thing, I don't know if you'd be asking me about it. It might got slipped under the rug.
Sure, that's exactly right. Mike Osti from Steelers Now and Pittsburgh Sports Live. I would not have confidence that the Steelers would win this week if they were playing any other team in the AFC playoffs. I just would not. But they're playing the Browns, and so I've been asking for weeks, can the Steelers win one playoff game? How confident do you feel that they'll at least win one playoff game?
Old takes exposed strike me down if somehow I'm wrong here, because they've gone after me before, and that'll be fine. I am quite confident. I'm not going to recommend anyone betting their house or putting any money down, because you never know with the Steelers, and certainly the Browns know the Steelers very, very well. The familiarity goes both ways, Corey. Not just the Steelers are familiar, the Browns certainly are familiar as well, and they prove they can play competitively even if they only won a game because of backups. They played close with the Steelers in recent years, able to beat them in recent years, even when starters are there. So you don't know. Nothing's guaranteed. But I would certainly say that outside of if Miami would have made it, and they did not, I don't think there was a better matchup for the Steelers, because they know them so well. They usually always beat them, no matter how good or bad any team is. They are the Browns with that little cursed stigma still around them even now in the playoffs. And the Steelers, going back to the end of the Colts game, they have been playing well enough to at least win one playoff game. I certainly would not have wanted to play Baltimore with how hot they've been recently. They finally figured out how to get the ball to Hollywood Brown, AB's cousin. That could be a dangerous team. Certainly the Titans have played them close before, even though I might pick the Steelers there. The Chiefs and Bills have certainly been better teams this year. And even the Colts, who basically blew a game against the Steelers. They should have beat Pittsburgh. So this is the most favorable matchup. If the Steelers are not going to be able to beat the Browns, they probably wouldn't have beat anybody else. And a healthy Steelers team at full strength probably would have won yesterday. So I'm definitely confident. And also, Corey, as much as the question, Mason Rudolph's not a starter for me, I don't want to give him the keys to my franchise, But I think what's being under the radar here, because they did make the playoffs, Baker Mayfield didn't really have a good year. He actually was better a couple years ago than this season, even though they didn't make it then. Baker is playing good enough, but he certainly didn't play that well on Sunday. The Steelers' defense and their pass rush certainly still can get to him, and that's been a problem for him. The way he plays doesn't seem to work well against a defense like the Steelers. And quite frankly, Mason Rudolph borderline outplayed him, if not actually did outplay him on Sunday. So I'm pretty confident the Steelers are going to win this one. Now, beyond that, it's certainly up for grabs. They could beat Buffalo if that's the matchup, and it appears so. They could beat him. It wouldn't shock me, that even though the Bills beat him in the regular season. But I don't know if I'd be picking the Steelers in any of the games throughout the playoffs if they'd win. But this is by far the best matchup. There's no way the Steelers in that locker room aren't happy with this matchup. They couldn't stop them from getting in the playoffs, but they could be the team that eliminates them. That's extra motivation. Plus, on paper, the way they've been playing, the style, everything, I think the Steelers would get that check mark in terms of an advantage for this game.
One last thing for you. Mike Ossie from Steelers Now, Pittsburgh Sports Live. I was going through some mock drafts yesterday, looking at Penn State players. I looked at about a half dozen mock drafts to see where Micah Parsons, Jason Oway, Pat Freiermuth were looking. I came across one that had the Steelers picking Alabama quarterback Mac Jones. I don't remember which one it was, but I'm not sure Mac Jones falls that far. But the question I want to ask you is this the year they take a quarterback? Do they try to find that quarterback now, or are they still going to give Ben another year and see what they've got with Mason Rudolph, try to make a trade with somebody, bring in a Sam Darnold, bring in a Carson Wentz? What do you think the future of that position holds?
It's very, very possible, and I said this actually on the postgame show just yesterday, as much as this would be a boring answer almost, it's very likely and possible that based on what Mason Rudolph did on Sunday and how they have liked him throughout the season in practice too, that the Steelers could go in the next year, assuming Ben wants to still play and is playing okay enough. With Ben as the starter, which remember, he certainly had his bad moments, but 3,800 passing yards, 33 TDs, 10 picks, 96 quarterback rating, certainly could have been much worse. Certainly that's good enough to win in the NFL right now. Could he, with Ben as a starter, with Mason as the backup, I think he's good enough to be a backup, and maybe even Josh Dobbs back again as a third-string guy because they put him in some packages on Sunday, and that might even work with the starter, and I actually like some of those packages with Dobbs, so that gets him involved. It could be very, very similar next year. What I think would be better is bringing in a guy like a Sam Darnold. I actually have always loved Sam Darnold, but he hasn't had an opportunity. He's been in the worst opportunity with the Jets, and their offensive line's been a mess. The weapons haven't been there. The head coach is calling everyone names throughout the year. No one likes each other. It's been a cluster, you know what? So he hasn't been in the right situation to try to have success. I'd like him. I'd rather have Darnold than I would want to have Cam Newton, who I think his best days are far behind him. Same thing with Winston, who makes too many mistakes. I don't know about Wentz. With that drama, he certainly has tons of talent. That would be nice as well, maybe for the Steelers, if he'd be okay with being a backup. It seems like that's part of his issue there, so that could be drama. Very likely they're in the same situation quarterback-wise next year. They probably should draft somebody. I don't know if they're going to get someone like that because they're going to be picking well at the end of the draft, you figure, especially if they win a playoff game. But also Alabama quarterbacks. It's not going to have been a recipe for success in the NFL after Joe Namath. But I don't know if that's something you want to go down that road either. I don't know if they're really that guy the Steelers can go get. Certainly, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence are not going to be available to the Steelers. So if they don't love somebody, they're probably not going to do it. They're not going to reach and try to get someone, even when they have a veteran like, say, the Packers did last year. So I wouldn't be shocked if they don't, because you also have to remember, Corey, Juju's contract's in flux. James Conner's contract's in flux. Half the defense is in flux. They could lose a lot of players in this offseason. That's why they really need to go get the ring now. If they would have a lot to replace, potentially, depending on how the offseason goes, separate from quarterback, then if Ben comes back and Mason's good enough for them, they may try to stay the course and go in neutral one more year because they have so much else to replace if they do not love a guy. Or maybe they would trade for somebody, but I think you and I both know probably they're going to the same situation they have now because it's just not the Steeler way to go to, throw out draft picks or try to trade for someone that's sailed somewhere else. I mean, they did it with Minka, but that was more surprising. So we'll see. I wouldn't be shocked if it's the same quarterback next year. I don't really love a guy that they could go get in the draft and necessarily actually bring in. And they have a lot else that need help, too. So it'd probably be best case scenario if they could wait another year and be good enough to get 10 or 11 wins with this group again and then fix what needs fixed, because there's going to be other things that need fixed. Surprising as that sounds looking at this roster now, but contractually, it's not a great situation for them going into the offseason.
Good stuff. Mike Oste from Steelers Now and Pittsburgh Sports Live. Appreciate the time, buddy. Happy New Year. Enjoy the rest of your week, man.
Absolutely. Love talking to you. Happy New Year to you as well. And we'll be seeing each other around the network, I'm sure. So definitely been great and anytime.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Mike Oste.